Shalom, Mishpachah, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with the love of my life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Tada, my dear, and shalom, saints of God. Tonight we will continue in the same vein as last week, this time reading more scriptures that contain the idiomatic Hebraic phrase of
in that day or the day.
Again, this term is essential to correctly understand biblical eschatology. But first, let's praise our King.
We do praise you, O Lord. You are the King of kings and Lord over all. Because of you, we can face tomorrow. Because of you, we have unceasing joy and perfect peace because our eyes are stayed on you. Thank you for your word that comforts us and sustains us. We pray a speedy recovery for those who are sick among us and for our loved ones who are still spiritually sick and need your salvation. We pray thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And until we hear that last trumpet shout, give us your dunamis power to be better evangelists for your honor. We pray in Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Well, I think most of us watched the debate. The question still remains, what will the Dems do about it?
You mean, what will the deep state do about it?
Good point. And Blinken, Obama, and Bill Clinton, and I actually now others too, just say, aw, he just had a bad night. And his, what I would call, abusive wife, Jill, told him and the world he was just fantastic. To us and most of us, he appeared weak and incoherent for sure. Which, of course, that encourages even more so our enemies to exploit opportunities.
And they will over the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Most of us expected his poor performance, but even Israel said they weren't surprised. The elections can't come soon enough.
Yeah, we need to get Trump back.
Yes, for nothing else to tackle the border crisis, because even if they can't vote for a while, it will highly affect the next census for the number of delegates for each state.
It does. And also, we need to open up our pipelines.
Oh, for sure, to become energy independent again, so we don't have to pay exorbitant prices to our foreign enemies. And another priority is to get rid of those progressive regulations that has really been hurting small businesses.
To include our fishing industry.
Yeah. Ah, but by the way, the Supreme Court did rule in their favor. So now they will not have to pay the wages for the government monitors that the EPA insisted they had to have to, make sure they stay in their fishing quota.
So they'll open... Oh, so they're out in the open spies. They're out in the open spies.
They are out in the open spies.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you have some CIA news.
Yes. A recent report that also stands out last week among the many examples of election interference is the Hunter laptop story and exposes the active on-duty CIA agents who played in the cover-up by calling the laptop Russian disinformation. And by the way, many of the CIA are made up of Georgetown University Jesuit operatives.
And other Jesuit-run schools.
Which there are many.
Mm-hmm.
Not all CIA, of course, would never say that, but some are Jesuit-trained agents who take the fourth vow of servitude to the Vatican and then infiltrate into all forms of employment, but mostly in government and the Pentagon. Thank God for the few whistleblowers who have left to tell their story. And we did a program back in 2014 about the Jesuits.
Perhaps it's time to revisit.
Perhaps. But that was right after we had that got the new Jesuit Pope Francis. And he came to power and, by the way, has proven to be, let's just say, often anti-biblical.
Or quotes it out of context.
Yes.
Some, you know, some are good regular priests and bishops.
Oh, for sure. Like of the vows 1, 2, or 3. But the fourth vow are highly trained infiltrators. Joe Biden is probably one of those trained. And we know that the Jesuits do protect their own.
As witnessed with the laptop.
Mm-hmm. You know, his close spiritual mentor was the Jesuit president at Georgetown, where Hunter went to school. And the Jesuits' main goal, of, as we've said for many years, is to counter the Protestant Revolution. And to teach the Catholic faith, especially venerating Mary as co-redemptrix. Just read the writings of ex-Jesuit Malachi Martin.
YouTube also has a clip from him.
And then there's Israel, who continues battling their enemies, especially in the north with Hezbollah. Just keep praying for them.
Well, let's finish with some good news.
Okay, I think that's great. The Supreme Court, as I know everyone has already heard, ruled yesterday that all presidents, which includes Trump, is entitled to absolute immunity from criminal prosecution for actions within his authority.
But not for unofficial acts.
Right. And the Dems are not happy. Also, House Representative Jamal Bowman lost the New York primary.
One less progressive is a good thing.
And a massive Christian revival has been going on, of all places, in India. And in Oklahoma, Bibles are back in all schools to be taught for its history.
And in Louisiana, the Ten Commandments will once again be displayed in all schools, including colleges.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you can send your end time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated and will automatically add you to our mailing list, our prophecy updates, and biblical teachings. Please consider any love gift, which you can also make on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where our radio and teaching letters are archived for your convenience.
And by the way, for those of you that have no computer, libraries do and are more than willing to help you. Okay, last week we talked about the idiomatic expression of...
in that day.
Or some translations say on that day.
And also the day.
All means the last 1,000 years of history before eternity. So we highly recommend you check out our archives for last week's program. Scripture says that each of the 7 1,000 years of history is just one day to God, as confirmed by the Dead Sea Scrolls calendar calculated correctly by the Essenes, who was able to read their ancient ancestors' writings.
They sure knew a lot.
Mm-hmm. The earlier Essenes from around 200 years before Christ were able to accurately predict which Shemitah and Jubilee the Messiah would die for their sins, and when he would return to set up his kingdom, which when worked out, is 2025.
So, are they right again?
We'll soon find out, but Hosea 6:2 does confirm that Jesus will return to set up his kingdom in 2 days from when he left. He left in 32 AD, so in 2,000 years equals 2032. Subtract the 7 years for the tribulation, brings us to 2025 for the rapture.
That's very exciting.
You think? Mm-hmm. So, yes, the seventh day is seriously soon. Now, we don't know for sure which day or hour, but James 5 says in the harvest, which is in the fall, and Jesus still has 3 more feasts to fulfill, which just happens to be in the fall.
And the seventh day begins at the moment of the resurrection / rapture.
Yes. Then after 7 literal Hebrew calendar years of 360 days each, The Light Returns.
The Sun of Righteousness.
And that's S-U-N, Malachi 4, verse 2, to set up his Sabbath kingdom on earth. Again, after the darkness is gone forever, as the Sabbath rest typifies.
So again, the darkness of night is a picture of the coming tribulation before the light of the sun arrives.
As we read in Genesis, that every 24-hour period begins at sundown and is still practiced today in Israel.
And why did God arrange it that way?
For the reasons we just said, because it's a total picture.
Called typology.
Yep. All the Bible accounts are first actual literal happenings, but then also a picture of something else.
As we said last week.
We did. And God purposely hides it so we will search for it and then find the treasure.
Proverbs 25:2.
And Bishop Augustine, before the Dark Ages, is quoted as saying,
"The New Testament is hidden in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is made manifest in the New."
Exactly. So again, to be clear, the nighttime is a picture of the beginning of the seventh day of the last 1,000 years.
Typifying the tribulation.
Which is part of the 1,000 years and not separate, as many time charts still show. The seventh day for us begins in heaven, for we can't be here for the night portion,
which will be totally dark.
Very dark. And since we have light in us, we are restraining the adversary from achieving its full power, which is why we must leave, as it says in 2 Thessalonians 2. So once more, the millennial kingdom is 1,000 years, but it begins for us in heaven and continues down on earth when we return with the light of Yeshua. All right, now, even more to confirm the idiom of in that day, let's look at some more scriptures, as in Zechariah 3, verse 10.
"In that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree."
That clearly is talking about Israel in the millennial kingdom or messianic kingdom. "Under his vine and under his fig tree" was an idiomatic phrase also seen in Micah 4 verse 4 when referring to his kingdom, as well as by Jesus in John 1 verse 50, where he specifically said, "Under the fig tree," which symbolizes Judah or Jerusalem, where the vine symbolizes all of Israel. The fig tree was also referred to as his pleasant plant.
Isaiah 5:7.
Yes. All right, now let's please read Zechariah 9:16.
"The Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people."
Israel as a whole will get saved in that day. This time it is referring to the tribulation, for we know they will receive him at the war of Gog and Magog. Again, the same expression for either the tribulation or the messianic kingdom on earth, but you will know the difference by the context surrounding it. The bride will be gone when all Israel will recognize their Messiah.
Ezekiel 38:23 and 39:22.
And we'll read those in a minute. But this also tells us that Ezekiel's war will be in that day, meaning in the tribulation. So when you hear a preacher say that war could come before we leave, they do not know eschatology from a Jewish perspective. As well, Ezekiel also says that his enemies will get an evil thought.
Who gives them an evil thought?
Well, remember when it was time for Ahab's judgment, how God's divine counsel in heaven talked about putting certain thoughts in Ahab's mind and also his ministers?
In 1 Kings 22.
Mm-hmm. And a spirit came forward, which in Hebrew is Ruach, and said he would put a lying spirit in the mouth of all Ahab's prophets. And God okayed it. And we've covered all that before. Anyhow, moving on, let's read verse 10 of Ezekiel 38.
Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind and you will make an evil plan.
So God's allowing disaster so he can intervene and they will recognize and accept their Savior, Yeshua.
And where do we see that?
Well, let's read verse 23 of Ezekiel 38 in our Lord's words.
Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many people. Then they shall know that I am the Lord.
And is confirmed again in Ezekiel 39, verse 22.
So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward.
So they get saved in the first half of the tribulation, and he protects those living in Jerusalem by fleeing them into the wilderness area.
Matthew 24.
Where their ancestors previously stayed when they fled Egypt.
So, not Petra.
No, it's the same as before. But back then, they could not enter the promised land because of unbelief.
They didn't trust God.
Right, that they could subdue the giants in Canaan.
But next time, Jesus takes them in.
Yes, again, from the same area of the real Mount Sinai written in the book of Exodus that Galatians 4:25 says is in Saudi Arabia. By the way, like Moses, Paul, right after his road to Damascus enlightenment, he went to this same area to study. And as he puts it in Galatians 1:17, he says that his teaching was not from any flesh and blood.
Sounds like maybe he went up to the mount.
Well, Paul is a picture of Moses, although mainly for the Gentiles.
The new righteous ones.
Mm-hmm. Also, besides Matthew 24, we have an addendum scripture that also confirms they have the testimony of Jesus Christ when they are fleeing from the Antichrist into the mountains in Revelation 12:17.
And the dragon was enraged with the woman,
meaning Israel.
And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring.
That would be those up in the north of Jerusalem.
Who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Did you catch that? There it is. Israel by this time will have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We also read how Satan, incarnate in the Antichrist, will chase the Jews as they flee from Jerusalem into the wilderness. As instructed in Matthew 24:16, and that's when they witness the Antichrist sitting in the temple as God.
God protects them.
Totally. Just like he did when he fled Egypt.
For the last half of the tribulation.
Yes, and we see that God opens the earth so the dragon couldn't chase them any further.
So, what does the dragon do?
Well, he turns back to go after the other Israelis living north of Jerusalem in the area of today's, you would say, Tel Aviv, who, again, have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
So, that was another little side road.
Yes, but I think it's time to move on and look at the word the day, which means the same as in that day, since there are approximately 80 scriptures using that term as well. So we're just going to name the scripture, and then you can read it yourself in context later. Let's start with Isaiah 13:13.
The day of his fierce anger.
Okay, so obviously that's the tribulation. Ezekiel 7:19.
The day of the wrath of God.
Again, the tribulation. So both are pointing to the tribulation, but then we have some happy verses like Isaiah 49 verse 8.
The day of salvation.
Or Philippians 1:10.
The day of the Messiah.
Isaiah 14:3.
The day the Lord gives you rest.
The seventh day is the Sabbath. So those are favorable terms, but still the same day terminology lasting 1,000 years. I just really hope that makes sense to everyone. And if not, just call me and we'll talk about it.
We have time to look at some others.
Okay, let's look at Luke 10, verse 11.
But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city.
Well, he's talking about actually any city that does not receive his disciples. Clearly, the judgment which will happen during the tribulation. All right, what about Zechariah 2, verse 11?
Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people.
Clearly, the Messianic kingdom. But still, again, the seventh day that lasts 1,000 years. Let's read Zechariah 12, verse 3.
And it shall happen, in that day I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all people. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it.
So, I would say that includes America, although it is highly questionable whether America will even exist then.
Mm-hmm, true.
But the handwriting is on the wall for Zechariah 12:3 to be fulfilled. You know, the Palestinians are always contending for Jerusalem, and the Roman Pope, or probably, I'm thinking the next Pope, he's going to get involved.
Perhaps as an overseer at first.
Well, this is my opinion, and of course that's based on Daniel 9, 24 through 27.
It is quite plain.
Yeah. It says the Antichrist, called the prince or the evil prince, will come from the same people who destroyed the sanctuary and Jerusalem before. Hello, that was the Roman army. Remember, there is nothing new under the sun. That which was will be again.
Ecclesiastes 1:9.
Okay, let's read Zechariah 14:8.
And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea and half of them towards the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur.
Oh, so we're going to have a change of seasons. Interesting. Anyhow, all these quotes refer to the same time period lasting 1,000 years. But we'll say it again. The nighttime of judgment comes first, and then the millennial kingdom on earth. So when you hear someone say the 7-year tribulation is separate from the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, you can now explain it's the darkness first, then the light, which is why God said way back in Genesis that each day begins at sundown, then comes the light.
Typology is our teacher.
Yes, and connects the dots for proper eschatological hermeneutics.
Well said.
Okay, so one more time. There is not a 7-year tribulation and then 1,000 more years of the millennial kingdom on earth. The 1,000 years begins with the resurrection / rapture. So yes, we get a head start on the millennial kingdom. And that begins for us in heaven. Technically our honeymoon, as we read in Isaiah 26:20, which tells us we will enter our bridal chamber, our hadar in Hebrew, for a little while until the indignation is over, period. Indignation is a synonym for Jacob's trouble or the tribulation, as verified in Daniel 8:19. And then we'll return with him as he finishes the judgment and punishes the wicked for their iniquities, as we also read in Revelation 19. So let me encourage you to use typology as pictures of learning for your children or your grandchildren. Have them read the story and then see if they can see the picture of the future in it. And let me ask you, of course, is Yeshua Lord over your life? If not, do it now. Don't waste another moment. We're running out of time. I'll leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and those who love her. Jerusalem, well, you're going to prosper in a lot of ways. Shalom till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.